Good morning, good morning, good morning. We want to welcome you to the Gathering Place Beyond the Walls here in Macon, Georgia, on this beautiful Sunday morning. Today is January the 19th, 2025. And this morning, as we gather, we just want to read a few scriptures I believe will encourage each of us this morning as we start out. The first scripture is Psalm 121, and it reminds us as disciples of Christ, ambassadors of God, kingdom citizens, as to where we are to look for our help. It says, beginning with verse number 1, and I'm going to be reading from the Contemporary English Version, and it says, I look to the hills, where will I find help? It will come from the Lord, who created the heavens and the earth. The Lord is your protector, and he won't go to sleep or let you stumble. The protector of Israel does not doze or ever get drowsy. The Lord is your protector, there at your right hand to shade you from the sun. You won't be harmed by the sun during the day or by the moon at night. The Lord will protect you and keep you safe from all dangers. The Lord will protect you now and always wherever you go. And this is just an early morning encouraging word to each of us as disciples of Christ, ambassadors of God, as to where we are to look for our help, who we are to look to. We are to look to our Heavenly Father. Why? Because we know he will protect us. Why? Because we know he never goes on vacation. He never goes to sleep. He never stumbles. He never dozes. He never gets drowsy. We can count on God, not only just today, but we can always count on him no matter where we go. Isn't that encouragement this morning, early morning, to be reminded of that, to know that we have a God that loves and a God that cares for us. Amen. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Al. Good to hear your voice this morning. How are you?
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. I'm blessed. I'm very blessed.
Amen. Yep. I know you are. I know you are. Yes, sir. We thank you for all that you do for this ministry here in Macon. You've been with us for a while, and we sure appreciate you coming each Sunday and certainly sharing in our praise as well as in our worship. So good to hear our sister Wanda. She is already healed, but we are seeing the manifestation on that journey of her healing on today. Amen. Who else do we have joining with us this morning that would like to give us a quick shout out before we get started? Anyone else? Amen. Amen. This morning, just a few reminders. Our message this morning will come from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 14 this morning. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 14 on today. And I'm just excited about that lesson, a very familiar scripture that the Lord has provided for us. Many of you that are receive your Sunday school books, you know that that is a foundational scripture. But the Lord takes us even further deeper into looking at what David is saying in Psalm 103 and 2, how to apply it to our lives. That's what's important. How do we apply it, Brother A? How do we walk in it? How do we become doers of the word? I can read the letters that have been penned and written in the word of God, but the most important thing is, how do I align to the word? How do I align to God's way and his will and walking it out and carrying out our mandate of Matthew 28:19-20. That's the important thing as we open up the word and get understanding, but also getting that wisdom to be doers of the word and not just readers or hearers of the word. Amen. Again, I hear others joining with us this morning. Again, we want to welcome you to the gathering place beyond the walls here in Macon, Georgia, with Minister Deborah Singleton as your facilitator on today. Amen. We're going to go ahead and get started this morning with words of encouragement. Just a reminder, don't forget our 2025 songs this year is, the first one is Have Thine Own Way, Lord, and our second song is I Surrender All, I Surrender All. And we're going to read the few verses of that song, and then we're going to read Psalm 100. We're going to ask Sister Ruby, if Brother Everett is not with us this morning, we're going to ask her if she would please lead us in prayer. We would then have the reading of our scripture coming again from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 14 this morning, and then we will have our song of praise, and then we will come back and begin to open up this scripture this morning, a familiar scripture to us that was penned by David, Psalm 103. Our song, 2025 song, is this: Have Thine Own Way, Lord. As we look at Jeremiah 18, verse 6, that says, just like clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yield it and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway. Filled with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Psalm 100, shout praises to the Lord, everyone on this earth. Be joyful and sing as you come in to worship the Lord. You know the Lord is God. He created us, and we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Be thankful, and praise the Lord as you enter his temple. The Lord is good. His love, and faithfulness will last how long? Forever and ever. Good morning, Sister Ruby.
Our Father, Lord God, we come this morning saying thank you. Lord, we're so grateful that you touched us this morning and our eyes came open. We're so grateful, God, for another opportunity to call on your holy and righteous name. We come asking this morning, Lord God, for your forgiveness. Lord, we ask right now that you will come in and rule and abide in our lives. Lord, we're inviting the Holy Spirit to come on in this morning to move all over this place. Lord, we come lifting up every household that's on this line this morning. Lord, you know what we're going through. You know what we're in need of. We just ask right now for a special touch, Lord God. Lord, we just ask right now that you will be with us throughout this day, that you will continue to heal our bodies, continue to heal our minds. Lord God, we just pray right now for Minister Deborah Singleton, Lord God. We pray right now that you will keep your loving arms of protection around her, that you will guide her and as she continues to lead us, your people, God. Lord, we just ask for the overflow in her life today, Lord God. We ask for every good and perfect gift that you will restore upon her, Lord God. And, Lord God, we know that we have Mother Neal, Lord God. We know that we have Mother Wimble, Uncle John, Lord God. We ask for a special blessing for them as well, Lord God. We ask, Lord God, that you will touch Uncle John's wife, continue to heal her, continue to strengthen her body right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we lift up Sister Pat Taylor to you right now, God. Touch her like only you can, Heavenly Father. Lord God, we need you, God. We need you. I need you today, Lord God. I need your hand to guide every step of my life. I don't know what to do. All I can do is say, Jesus, Jesus, help me, Lord God. And, Lord God, we just want to give you some honor and some glory and some praise because you're worthy of all our praise. And we just want to shout hallelujah to your name this morning because we thank you for this day, for this hour, for this minute. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Sister Ruby, for taking us to the throne of grace this morning, grace and mercy. Knowing that we are dependent on our Heavenly Father. Thank you so much this morning. Now, we are going to have a reading of our foundational scripture this morning coming from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 14, read by our sister Wanda. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. And it reads as follows, bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits. Who forgives all our sins, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord execute righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in compassion and loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger from us forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our wickedness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear and worship him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father loves his children, so the Lord loves those who fear and worship him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. But may the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister, thank you so much for reading our scripture this morning from the Amplified Translation. We have it open right here this morning as well. Thank you so much this morning for that reading. Amen. Now we are going to have our praise and worship this morning coming from our very own Brother Al there in Cincinnati, Ohio. Brother Al, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. has done great things. He has done great things. For he has done great things. Blessed is holy name. I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For he has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Blessed is holy day. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Al, for that song of praise this morning. He has done great things, and I can testify to that this morning. I know all on this line can testify that he has done great things for each of us as his children, sons and daughters, kingdom citizens and ambassadors. Amen. Again, we want to say good morning to each of you that are joining with us in our time of praise, our time of prayer, our time of sharing and teaching and preaching, as well as our time of equipping the saints of God, believers, to go forth and do what God has called each of us to do, and that is to carry out Matthew 28:19-20. He has empowered us as disciples, Sister Ruby. He has given us the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us, Acts 1:8, and Acts 2:38, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as we surrender and submit and walk in obedience, allowing the Holy Spirit to come alive in our lives, we then begin to shed the weight of the world and begin to get about doing what God has called us to do with no hindrances. We are not ashamed of the gospel, because our minds are being transformed and renewed by the word of God. We have no reason to fear, no reason to have anxiety, because we can come to the throne of grace with confidence, with boldness, and with humility, knowing that our God hears and answers prayer according to his will. So this morning, I'm just so glad that you are joining with us to come into this place to be encouraged, but also to be pushed to continue to do what God has called you to do in your gifting. This morning, I want to give this announcement before we get started. We again invite all of you to join with us in our Sunday evening preaching and prayer and praise and equipping our service. This evening, our words of encouragement will come from Brother Everett, and I'm asking if we would please keep him in prayer. Our second announcement is this, that we continue to keep our loved ones, our sisters and our brothers in prayer. Those who have had members of their families to be promoted, keep them in prayer. Those who continue to be caregivers, we want to keep them in prayer as well as our leadership. Our leadership keeping them in prayer, that we continue to be the servants, servant leaders that God has called us to be, servant leaders aligned to the kingdom principles and truth of the word of God. The third announcement I want us to be reminded of is that we are going to circle your calendars. We are going this year, the Lord says so, begin a 21-day Daniel fast, a 21-day Daniel fast starting February the 3rd, February the 3rd of this year. Go ahead. Tomorrow begins the first day of our detox, D-E-T-O-X, detox. That is, we begin to shuffle those things out of our pantry that may provide some type of temptation for the first couple of days. Begin to look at the recipes and your shopping list of the things you would need to purchase from a physical perspective. Physical. There is three components, physical, spiritual, and emotional, we are going to look at. This year, the fast entitled Being More Like Jesus. Fasting, this is going to be a time of fasting, repentance, and prayer. Fasting, repentance, and prayer starting the 3rd of February. So we're giving ourselves about 10 days of preparation for our minds, our hearts. Also sharing this with your family members that's internal to your home. Sharing this with them. They may decide to join in with the journey with you, but we want us to begin the preparation. Detox starts on tomorrow. Pantry looking, physical kinds of things. Then we will begin to look at the bodily things that we need to start doing. That is cutting back on your sugar, cutting back on your intake of dairy products, meat products, various caffeine and other things. We are have prepared a manual to a guide to get into your hands each day. You will have a scripture. You will have reflections. You will have some prayer points to help you as you move through this 21-day Daniel fast. I will say this. Some of us may decide to do a Daniel fast plus, that we may remove other things such as social media, television consumption, other things. Some of us may decide to push even further in, that we decide maybe a day or 2 days or 3 days we go without our food substance, that we go on a water. It is going to be to us, but we want to set the parameters in terms of our upcoming fast. Is fasting, repentance, and prayer, becoming more like Jesus. So circle your calendars, February the 3rd, more information and teaching, biblical teaching will follow prior to February the 3rd. So I want to make sure that we get that information on our calendars versus waiting until the end and we have it captured on our recording. So again, we want to thank all of you for joining with us. This morning, as we turn to the Word of God, we want to turn to the scripture found in Psalm 103. Sister Gloria, as I was meditating even this morning and reading this scripture again and again, which was shared in an early morning session I was in, I began to see another topic emerge. The topic that was sent out last evening said, was entitled, Look at Our God. Look at Our God. And then, Sister Ruby, as I sat here, I heard another topic emerge. See what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. When I look in this passage of scripture, Uncle John, I see the attributes of God. I see his attributes. I see God's holiness. I see God's being compassionate. I see God's love. My brothers and sisters, I see a forgiving God. I see a merciful God. I see a God that is slow to anger. I see God as our Redeemer. Yes, when I look at this passage of Psalm 103, and I know some of you have seen more, even when Brother Al was singing this morning, I think of the marvelous deeds that God has done towards me. David is not the only one that can testify this morning, because I can hear it on the line of what God and the benefits that we have received from God. So this morning, before I delve even further into this lesson, I wanted to kind of share with the attributes of God, the characteristics of God, and how God is the very one that blesses us and that keeps us. The other day, I got a letter from Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and they shared with me that there is a medication that I take that they are no longer going to consider to cover. That's a benefit of Blue Cross Blue Shield. Many of us have different kinds of insurance, but the insurance is come with benefits, Sister Wanda. And with God, God doesn't take away a benefit of his assurance plan. I didn't say insurance, I said assurance plan. But when we are in the world, like I say, Blue Cross Blue Shield said, we are considering, we are thinking about, and the possibility, more than likely, you all, they are not going to cover that medication. But that's all right. I'm not worried about that, because I know, as I read this lesson, I know in my past that God is a healer, that God is going to take care of me. So this morning, as we look at this passage, we can't help but to think about the benefits that we have in insurance policies and benefits in insurance plans. But this is totally different when I look at the benefits that my God has given me that far outweighs any insurance plan. I want to ask this woman, I want you to come off mute real quick and share with me a benefit that you celebrate and praise God for. I'm going to tell you how we're going to do it this morning. I'm going to start there in Cincinnati. Brother Al, I'm going to start there in your household and just to share a benefit of God, something that you praise him for. And then I'm going to head on over to Macon, Georgia. Then I'm going to go over to Alabama, and you can take your phone off of mute and say, just tell me a benefit. Tell me something that you praise God for, that you know it ain't nobody but God that's doing it. So let's just start up in the north and work our way down to the south this morning. Anybody in the north want to share with me this morning a benefit, a part of your benefit, a benefit package that God has provided to you? Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Al. And I thank the Lord for what he's done for me. Every morning I wake, that's a blessing that he's given to me. Even when I walk my way and stuff, instead of walking to the left or to the right, the Lord will leave something in me to let me know that, you know, some things just aren't right, you know, and go this way, you know, or go that way, you know. I'm so grateful that the Lord has been within my life throughout my whole life, all the years that I am, and I'm a few years old, but I thank the Lord for blessing me and being with me in that I can feel his presence. Amen.
Brother Al, as you were talking, a song came to mind. Praise him. Mm-hmm. Praise him.
Amen.
Praise him. Praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to be praised. That began to ring out in my head, my mind this morning as you were just sharing. Amen. The blessings of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I don't know if Minister Braxton, she's probably working this morning, but certainly you have spoken for the household. I know that goes for her as well this morning. Amen. We're going to work our way on down to the south. Come on, Macon, Georgia. Come on, those that are listening in Macon. Tell me, what do you have to praise him for? What are you thanking him for? What's on your lips of praise and worship this morning? Good morning.
I thank God that no matter how many times we mess up, we can go, if we go to him humbly and with a sincere heart, that he forgives us and he keeps right on loving us.
Woo. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Glory. You know what, Sister Glory, you didn't know this, but it's like, as though you looked on my paper. Because I had that scripture this morning that speaks to that very thing. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. Here's what it says. If we confess our sins, our mess ups, our missteps, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. And you're so right. And that back, the scripture backs it up this morning. Amen. Come on, somebody else. I heard you.
Good morning. I like to, one of my benefits is life itself, giving me the ability to think for myself, to move for myself, my abilities to do the things that I do every day. And for waking me up, you know, regulating my mind. And I thank him for the growth and the opportunity that we experience in his word. Not the word, but in his word. And I'm grateful and honored for that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Wanda, that scripture that goes well with that is this, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age. But what's happening, Sister Wanda, you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind, by getting into the Constitution, the Word of God, so that you may discern what is good, what is pleasing, and what is the perfect will of God. And that is your greatest desire now. Your greatest desire is to please God. Your greatest desire is to be in the perfect will of God. Amen. Whoa. Amen. It's as though we may have talked this over, but the scriptures keep coming. Someone else this morning, talk to me.
I am just grateful for being that the God woke me up this morning. I'm still in my right mind. I still have the use and activities of my limbs. I'm just grateful because of life. He didn't have to do it, but he did it one more time. He given me another opportunity. In my case, I guess when I look around and see how God kept my brother for almost 50 years, and how my brother couldn't do anything for himself. But those twins called Grace and Mercy is keeping me, and I'm able to take care of myself. I'm able to cook. I'm able to do the little simple things, just to breathe. It's just a blessing to be able to walk from the bedroom to the bathroom. I'm just grateful that he's given me the use of my limbs this morning. Amen. I'm just grateful.
Amen, amen, amen. The song Grateful, Grateful, Grateful comes across my mind, Sister Ruben, as you talk about those twins, Grace and Mercy. I'm going to talk about them a little bit more today in our message on today. Grace and Mercy, giving me that which I don't deserve, but keeping back that which I do deserve. Grace and mercy. And that's what David talks about in this psalm, God's grace. and God's mercy and God's love. Awesome, awesome. Someone else this morning, thankful, being thankful. What is it? Why do you thank him? What is it about him that you thank him for? Someone else this morning.
I thank God for health, life, health, and strength because he's my all in all. He's the one that I have to depend on because nobody can help me like God can help.
Amen. Amen. That's from Alabama over there. Amen. And the scripture that I believe fits so well with that, Mother Neal, is this, and I believe you stand on this scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You have put your trust in the Lord with all your heart, and you do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways, and you know that he will guide you on the right path. Isn't that something, putting all our trust? I can tell him, thank you. Thank you, because I know you're going to guide. You're going to lead me. You're the one that I depend on. Amen. Anybody else in Alabama? We've hit Macon. We've gone to Alabama. We left Cincinnati. We've been traveling. Is there anyone else want to give a testimony on the goodness of the Lord this morning before we continue in our study today? Anyone else?
Amen. 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 Saints, I want to thank God for this blessed assurance policy that we have through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Mm. Amen. I thank God for this blessed assurance policy. Thank God for the benefits that's contained therein.
I'm gonna
pick one today, Dr. Debs and Saints, in terms of my right standing with God. Hallelujah.
Right.
My right standing with God, the salvation that he gave as a gift. Yes, one of the free benefits of the policy. Amen. Didn't cost me just to believe in Jesus Christ. I just thank him for that salvation, that old wretched man that I was. Hallelujah. Who saved me from the body of death. Yes, yes, my Lord Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. And even with my mind today, I serve the law of God. But I have to watch out for my flesh because it wants
Come
to
on.
Serve the law of sin. But I thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit that
Come
he gave
on.
Me to. That's another benefit, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I thank God for the Holy Spirit ignited in us, lives in us, works through us, empowers us, gifts us. Does so much for us. So I just thank God for those benefits. Hallelujah. I just thank God for those particular benefits that I wanted to mention. Thank God. Thank God. And I thank God for the ones I heard so far, too, blessing me. Amen. That's all I got, Dr. Deb. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Oh, that's awesome, because what you're saying is, Pastor Reggie, you thank God for your new identity. You thank
Amen.
God for the new identity that you have been given. You know for a fact you were bought with a price and that you belong to God. You know that you saved. You know that
yeah.
you're connected to the true vine. You know you're chosen. We are chosen.
Yeah.
We know that we are redeemed. And I want us to know this morning, we went from being a mess to being a message for Christ Jesus. Oh, yes. We went from having tests in our lives, and we'll continue to have tests. But every test will come with a testimony and a thanksgiving praise on today. Amen. Amen. Thank all of you for your sharing this morning, because as we, this makes it easy as we look into Psalm 103 this morning, and we won't be long, I don't believe, on today, because we can easily walk through this because you have set us up for this message. Let me give you a few things about Psalm 103. The first thing is, as we look at our message this morning entitled, Look at Our God and See What the Lord Has Done. I can call him my God, my Heavenly Father, because I have made the Romans 10:9-10 sincere declaration. Those are the only ones that can call him Father, that can call them our God, my God. You have to make that declaration. You can walk in Psalm 103 because you are connected to the true vine. Yes. It is not because of work on our part, Pastor Reggie, but it is the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary and my accepting through Romans 10:9-10, allowing my mind again to be renewed by the Word of God. Everybody cannot take on these benefits. To be a part, to have and take part of these benefits, you've got to be a part of the plan. Just like everybody can't take on the benefits of Blue Cross and Blue Shield or Humana or United Healthcare, because if you are not a member of that particular plan, you can't walk up to the doctor and say, I want the benefits of United Healthcare, and you are not even a part of the plan. So for me, I can count on these benefits here because I am a part of the family of God. And that's why I'm so intent every time I talk is the Romans 10:9-10 and the renewing of the mind and remaining faithful by staying in the Word, immersing ourselves in the Word, and not only being readers of the Word, but Uncle John, we got to be doers of the Word. So I can say these benefits apply to me because I'm a part of this plan. I'm a part of not an insurance plan, but I'm a part of an assurance plan. I am assured God is going to do just what God says he is going to do. So, Sister Jackie, we have already covered the attributes of God that we see in Psalm 103, and there are some other attributes that are there. But yes, we've seen that he's holy, he's compassionate, his love, his everlasting steadfast love is highlighted here. His forgiveness is highlighted, his mercy is highlighted, his grace is highlighted, him being slow to anger is highlighted. So when David penned Psalm 103, it is a song of praise to the Almighty God. It emphasizes God's infinite mercy, his grace, his boundless love, and the manifold blessings that he bestows upon his people, upon his children, the sons and daughters of the kingdom of God. That's who these blessings are bestowed upon. God's love is written all over this passage. It encourages us to live a life of praise. It encourages us to live a life of true worship and a life of gratitude. Keeping God's commandments, I want us to write this down this morning, keeping God's commandments and recognizing his divine authority over all creation. I want us to understand something. God is over all, and there is no one that can do anything that God cannot see. And if it is not aligned to his will, his way, and his word, God does bring justice. I see justice in the lesson as well. Notice this. It tells us in his word, he has divine authority over all creation. Keep this in mind, is that the heart of the king is in the hands of God. We get upset about various things. We see things that we don't like. We hear things that we don't care for. But I want us to keep in mind as we go through 2025 that the heart of the king, the heart of man, is in the hands of God. Yes. When we look at Psalm 23, it reflects, Mother Neal, on God's greatness and our dependence on him. I'm not depending on the federal government, the local government, the state government. I am depending on God. And I know that my God is going to take care of me because he has given me the assurance no matter what happens, the waters may roar. We saw that last Sunday. The waves may roar, but guess what? My God is mightier than the waves, the water, the intents of man. My God, your God, our God is mightier. So when we look at the psalmist, when we look at Psalm 103, Sister Wanda, it is broken into three parts. And as you were reading this morning, I could see the shift from when David is talking about his benefits and when he shifts and begin to talk about the benefits that God has towards other people. It's three parts to it. First, the psalmist sings a personal mercy. He talks about himself like we did this morning, which he had himself received when we look at Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Then he shifts. He magnifies the attributes of Jehovah as displayed in his dealings with his people. We see that in verses, we see that there. Then we see he closes out and by calling upon all the creatures in the universe to adore the Lord and join with himself in blessing Jehovah, the ever gracious God. We are called as children of God to have an attitude of gratitude. We are called to praise and worship, and I'm talking authentic praise and worship. I'm not talking putting on a show. I'm not talking putting on an outside show to the world, but I'm talking, Pastor Reggie, about authentic, about real praise and worship. I'm going to get to that. David, the penman of Psalm 103, understood that true worship was something deeply inward of the soul. It is not just about outward forms or expressions, but also about something real from the soul. True worship, if you're writing, taking notes this morning, true worship is our alignment to the Father's will, his word, and his way. True worship. It is walking in obedience. It is a posture of surrender, a posture of submission. It is about what God does, not what I do. Yeah, that's true worship. When we think about when people say, well, we're going to praise and worship. Worship is the alignment to the Father's will, his way and his way. That's true worship. Worship is walking in obedience to the word of God. And when I am doing that, yes, there can be some outward expressions of the clapping of the hands, of the hallelujah, of the amen, or we can sit there in silence lifting our hands. But we as disciples have to understand what is true worship. True worship is alignment to the will and the way of God. It is walking in obedience to the word of God. And we feel the Spirit moving in our lives. We can be witnesses through our worship, through our walking in obedience, and through our praise. Because here's the thing. Our young people would much rather see a sermon, see worship being walked out, then preach out or act it out. Oh, we are looking for true worshipers that will worship what? In spirit and in what? In truth. So when David begins this psalm, Mother Cora, he begins it with a call to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his what? Holy name. So we see an attribute of God here, an attribute that speaks of the holiness of God. This when we look at Psalm 103, verse 1, this is an invitation to wholehearted worship, engaging every part of our being in praise, praising him with our whole mind, our heart, and our soul. David also understood that worship had to be more than superficial. It had to be offered as completely as possible. He wanted everything within him and within himself to praise God. David sets his heart in tune as well as setting his instruments in tune. Half-hearted, hear me this morning, half-hearted, ill-conceived, unintelligent praises are not what we are going to give. God wants our all. And as we approach the fast, fasting, prayer, and repentance, God wants our all. He wants us to walk in worship, that's obedience. He wants us to walk in alignment. He wants us to posture ourselves in a place of being surrendered and in a place of being submitted. David called for everything within him, all that is within me, to give honor, to give glory, and to give praise to God. God is not looking for me to be in a place where my mind is over in the worried about whether or not this is happening. That is, God wants my all. He wants my full attention. He wants my surrendering. He wants my submitting. Because if he's going to be the potter, and I'm going to be the clay, and I'm asking him to mold me and make me into his image, I got to give him my all, my mind, my heart, my soul. We cannot give him half-hearted praise and worship. That's no praise at all. That's no worship at all. David offered praises for his undeserved blessings. You all know David. David, the shepherd boy, David, the king, the David that went to the high top of his palace and he veered over and he saw a young lady bathing by the name of Bathsheba. That David, the David who wrote Psalm 51, David offered praises for his undeserved blessing, knowing that he could have died for his many sins. David looked back on his life with praises for his undeserved blessing. I don't know about you all this morning, but David is not the only one. I look back over my life, and I think about where I could have been, what could have happened. But God extended his grace. God extended his mercy, Brother Al. And because I know I don't deserve anything, I got a praise this morning. I got an appreciation this morning. I am going to give God the glory. I can't testify for you this morning. I can't say where you've been and what God delivered you from. I can't say what corridor you've been down and what your journey looks like. But I can say this morning with David. David said, I look back. And I saw what Absalom tried to do to me. I saw what I did when I put Uriah and sent orders to put Uriah out front in the battle and have him killed. I see what I did. I see sleeping with another man's wife and having a child. I see. And David said, yet it's still God. You are forgiving God. You've given me another opportunity. At this moment, I don't know about you. But I can praise him and tell him thank you when I had a car accident and how I didn't have a broken bone. I didn't have a scratch. Nothing. I saw how God brought me through. And David said this morning, he speaks to, he's talking, but I can give the same. He said, my soul praise the Lord. And all that is within me, praise what? His holy name. My soul. He says it again with emphasis. My soul, because he keeps, I can see David writing this psalm, Pastor Reggie. And I can see him, he start thinking about, see what the Lord has done. See how the Lord has kept me when my enemies tried to kill me. When Goliath was thinking that I was going to be the one that was going to die. But look, I can see David right. I can see, he said, look what the Lord has done. And he starts saying, wait a minute here. He says, my soul praise the Lord. And do not forget his benefits. Oh, David is telling us, don't you forget. Sister Ruby, don't forget when you were 21. Don't forget when you were 18. Don't you forget when you was 25. Don't you forget how God has brought. David said, I can see him now. He's going down through the corridors of his mind. It's as though he pulled out his journal. He pulled out his mental diary. And he starts saying, see what the Lord has done. Look what he's done for me. I don't even deserve this. But see how he's blessed me. Let me go on this morning. The psalmist repeatedly bless God's holy name in reference to his character. God deserves our complete praise for his what? Holy. Our God is holy, and he's calling us to be holy. Holy in our thoughts. Holy in our dealings with one another. Holy in our conversation. We're going to have to watch the conversations we have with people. We're going to watch some of the jokes we share with people. God is calling us to holiness, and we are asking God to do something for us. Then guess what? We got to make some changes too. I'm talking to Deborah. As I get ready to approach this fast, the time of fasting, repentance, and prayer, I got to begin to look at, I got to watch what I say to people. I got to watch my conversation with people. I got to watch how I live. Notice this. Our God is holy, but he's calling us to be holy in our thoughts, holy in our dealings with others, holy in our conversations with others. Let's keep on going. David urges believers, he urges us this morning not to forget any of the benefits that God has bestowed upon us. Memory this morning. Well, memory. Some people say, well, my memory is not the best. But I want you to think about where God has brought you from. Memory calls all that is within him to remember all the Lord's benefits. For our tasks, our energies should be suitably called out. God's all cannot be praised with less than our all. When God blesses you and I with unmerited divine assistance, he wants us to remember his wonderful deeds, which he has done. The marvelous deeds Sister Ruby spoke of this morning. The marvelous deeds Brother Al sung about this morning. He wants us to remember his wonderful deeds, to be reflective of those deeds, because that is an opportunity for us to carry out Matthew 28, 19 through 20. If I heard the recording this morning before the teacher started, me as the facilitator, I would say those people on the line, they are thankful. They remember. They know what the Lord has done for them. And not only that, they realize that they couldn't tell it all. But notice this, you are drawing people by you being a witness of see what the Lord has done in my life. And if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. God wants you to acknowledge his blessings. This can include sharing. This is how we apply this to our lives. This includes sharing your testimony with others, so that others may turn to God to find salvation and to find hope. That's application of the lesson. Not just reading it, but how to apply it. That's why I tell believers, don't keep your mouth closed. Don't keep your mouth shut when people are talking this and that. You need to step up and say, let me tell you about my God. Let me tell you what he brought me out of. Let me tell you I was single trying to raise three children, and I saw God, how he made a way out of no way. Me and my husband, we were married and trying to send, we wanted to send our children to college, and we saw God open up a door where they got scholarships, where they got grants, where somebody stepped in and did this. We got to open our mouth. We got to say I was sick, and God stepped in and he healed my body. I stood on Isaiah 53:4-5, and I know he's a healer. I know he's a deliverer. Give your testimony. Let's go on here. We see David begins to list the blessings that he's received. Just some of them, y'all. He didn't list them all, okay? Just some of them he picked out, which he rehearses as themes and arguments for us to praise, for him to praise. He selects just a few of the pearls from the casket of divine love. He threads them on the string of memory, and he hangs them around the neck of gratitude. Yes. This psalm highlights God's healing power and ability to restore us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It encourages us to trust in God's ability, Mother Neal, to bring wholeness and renewal to our lives. That's what it does. Now, notice this when we look at the first verse. Forgiveness is first in the order of our spiritual experience. Look at verse 3. And in some respects, it is the first in value. For me to get to the other benefits, I must experience first the benefit of forgiveness. He forgives all your sin. Oh, help me this morning. The pardon granted is a present one. He forgiveth. It is continual, for he still forgiveth. It is divine, for God gives it. It is for reaching, for it removes all our sins. Sister Gloria mentioned this morning when she talked about forgiveness. That's why I gave 1 John 1:9 this morning. When we look at this scripture, we see when we misstep, when we sin, we can go back to God, ask for forgiveness. He will forgive us. He will wash us, and he will cleanse us. Let me give you another scripture. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, where he washes us, he sanctifies us, and he what? He justifies us. So David says, let me tell you about my first benefit I pulled. I want you to know that he forgives all, all of our sins. He healeth us of all, our diseases, sicknesses of the body and soul came into the world by sin. And as sin is eradicated, diseases, bodily, mental, and spiritual will vanish till the inhabitants shall no more say, I am sick. I want us to understand, how did this come into fruition? It came through the disobedience that occurred in the garden. There was no sickness. There was no disease. There was no sin. But when man walked in disobedience by not listening to the voice of God, by when he listened, he didn't listen. He turned away and listened to another voice. This is it. But notice what David said. David said, I got a benefit. One of the benefits in my assurance package is that he forgives all of our sins and that he heals all of our diseases. He is all things to us. As our needs call for them, and our infirmities do but reveal him in new character. Notice this. Not only is he our judge, but he's also our physician, that he cares for us and that he what? He heals us. Now, what we talk about when we talk about healing, healing and restoration. Spiritually, God's love removes the barrier that separates us from him by canceling the debt of our sin so that we can enjoy a loving relationship with him. God's love removes our sins as though they never existed. Oh, spiritually here. We know what Jesus did when he went to the cross of Calvary, the finished works of Jesus. Am I receiving him, the washing of my sin, washing my sins away? Here's something else. Emotionally, forgiveness is a healer. It releases the bond of imprisonment in our mind. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about during the fast, you all. Forgiveness, loosening, letting go of those hurts, letting go of those disappointments as we move forward. And I'm so glad that the Psalm 103 sets us up. We are healed in terms of spiritual healing, emotional healing. Much of our physical and emotional illness can also come through moral failure. In removing the sin and guilt from our lives, God's love brings healing to our emotional life. Don't continue to be in prison, in jail, because of unforgiveness. Don't be in jail and in prison. If you want to see freedom, we have to forgive. He told us in his word, we got to love our enemies, and we got to pray for those who persecute us. And if this fasting is going to loose the bounds, the bonds of these things, we got to go in it with a mind saying, Lord, I surrender all. Lord, have thine own way. I know I've been holding on to this stuff, but I got to let it go. Let's go on. Here's another healing. Eternally. The pit is the pit of death we see in verse 4. God's love rescues us. Fallen humanity from our own bent on destruction, and he grants us eternal life. Here's the other thing, physically. Verse 5. Like a father, he desires to give us good gifts of strength and endurance. Jesus, the embodiment of God's love, came enjoying life, and he wants his children to be able to do the same. Yes, when we look at this passage of scripture, Psalm 103, we see true benefits are given by God unto his people, and we must not forget them. Instead, we should use the remembrance of those things as reason to praise him, to worship him. Look at verse number 2. Observe that he called all that is within him, David does, to remember all the Lord's benefits. For our tasks, our energies should be suitably called out. God's all cannot be praised with less than our all. I shared that earlier. We got to pull out our journal. We got to pull out our diary. We got to walk down memory lane. And we have to understand this morning that God has given us a new identity. And what we have to do is remember his benefits. And then we have to praise him. And we have to tell him thank you. Somebody this morning said, you know what? Oops, I didn't thank God for what he did for me yesterday. I didn't thank God for what he did for me this morning. So that's what this does. That David is saying, look now, as you look at the benefits, I want you to observe. I want you to call them out. I want you to remember what the Lord has done for you. I want you to begin to what? Praise him honestly. Praise him from a true heart. Praise him in spirit and in truth. When I think about the forgiveness of sin, it gives me a new identity. It lets me know I'm the righteousness of God. It lets me know that I'm forgiven. It lets me know that I am a new creature. That's what David wants to remind us this morning, of our new place in the kingdom of God. We have moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And we as disciples of God can praise him. Look at verse 3, y'all. Look at verse 3. He forgives all your sin. He heals all your diseases. We shared. Notice this. He begins this list of blessings that's been received. He rehearses this list of blessings. He lets us know that there's no disease of our soul that baffles God. He goes on healing all. He will do so till the last trace is removed from us. Look at God. There's nothing that is left there. There's no trace of it. He forgives it. He puts it in a sea of forgiveness. Let's go on. Look at verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with love and kindness and tender mercies. By purchase and by power, the Lord redeems us from the spiritual death into which we have fallen, and from the eternal death which would have been its consequence. But notice what he does. He redeemed us. He redeemed us from hell. He redeemed us from destruction. He sent, John 3:16, he sent his only begotten son that went to Calvary in our place, paying a debt that we owe that we could not pay. David said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. And not only did he redeem us, not only did he remove the guilt and power of sin, but notice what else that he did. He crowns us with love and kindness and with tender mercies. Who do you know? Well, who do you know that does that? You know you messed up. You know what you did was wrong. But notice what he does when we ask him for forgiveness. He forgives us. He cleanses us. He washes us. And then he redeems our life from destruction, redeems it from that eternal death, redeems us from spiritual death. Then on top of that, he turns around and he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Notice this. Our Lord does nothing by half. He does nothing halfway. He will not stay his hand till he has gone to the uttermost with his people. He cleanses us. He heals us. He redeems us. And then he crowns us. We are kings in the kingdom of God. We see ourselves. We have been delivered from the corruptible things, such as silver and gold. Notice this, this crown that we wear, y'all, is a crown that is studded with gems of grace. It's a crown, Pastor Reggie, that is lined with the velvet of love and kindness. It's decked out with jewels of mercy. And here's the other thing. It's made soft for the head to wear by a lining of tenderness. Notice this crown. It's not a crown like we see in a store. It's not a crown like the one that King Charles wears. But it is a crown that is made up of love. It's a crown that is made up of mercy. It's a crown that is lined with tenderness. God himself crowns the princes of his family, for their best things come from him directly. And we do not earn the crown, but it is a mercy and not a merit. Notice this. We feel unworthy. But what does God do? God shows us. He washes us. He cleanses us. And he positions us. And he crowns us with this crown of mercy. He crowns us with a crown of compassion. This morning, tears began to come as I began to continue to look at it, how he cleans me, how he heals me, how he redeems me. Knowing that knowing who I am, knowing sometimes the mess up and the misstep, but he doesn't hold that because I've asked him for forgiveness. He's forgiven us, Brother Al, and he crowns me. He gives me that which I don't deserve. He crowns me with grace. I can't help it. He crowns me with love and kindness. He crowns me with mercy. He crowns me with tenderness. Look at verse number 5. He satisfies you with goodness. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. No man is ever filled to satisfaction but a believer, an ambassador of God. And only God himself can satisfy us. There are many worldly things out there that talks about satisfaction, guaranteed. But this morning I come, Uncle John, letting us know that true satisfaction is found in God himself. And he's the only one that can satisfy us. Yes, God satisfies the very soul of man. His ornament and glory and of consequence, he satisfies his mouth. Hungry and craving it might otherwise be if God didn't do it. What did he tell the woman at the well? He says, this water I give to you, you won't thirst no more. God is calling us, and this morning I can tell him, thank you, Lord, for satisfying me, giving me the thing that I need, Lord, filling me with your word, filling me with your promises, filling me with your holiness. I and my soul is satisfied. And the reason why we got people going from place to place, going to this person and that person and this building and that building is because their soul is not satisfied. And the only way your soul can be satisfied is that you are connected to the true vine and you allow him to feed you. You allow him to bring satisfaction in your life. You allow him to bring contentment in your life. Look at verse number 6. Let me say something about the eagle here in verse number 5. So that thou youth is renewed like the eagles. Here's what David is saying. He said there's going to be a renewal of strength, amounting to a grant of a new lease on life. It was granted to the psalmist. He was so restored to his former self that he grew young again, and he looked at this eagle whose eye can gaze upon the sun and whose wings can mount above the storm. Let me tell you, if we allow God to bring satisfaction in our lives, allow God to bring the good things in our lives, we will be renewed like the eagle. The eagle gets new wings, y'all. It sheds. And you know, if you know anything about shedding, it's a renewal process. It's a restoring process. And that's what we're going to see when we go through this fast. This fast of repentance. This fast of prayer. There's going to be renewal in our spiritual bodies. It's going to be a renewal in our physical bodies. It's going to be a renewal in our minds to run on and see what the end is going to be. Let me tell y'all something. This is what David said. He said, allow God to satisfy you. Allow God to give you the good things that is needed. And watch what God is going to do. There is a renewal of strength. Now, let me tell you, there's a renewal to say, I'm going to keep on running during Matthew 28:19-20. There's a renewal in my love language. There's a renewal in my love for others, my enemies, those that persecute me. There is a renewal. And David says, I can't forget the benefit of him renewing me. When I thought that it was over, God comes along, you all, and he renews us. He strengthens us. He brings us out of that place of oppression, that place of depression. He renews us. And I'm like an eagle. I can fly above my situation. I can fly above the storm. Because guess what? I'm undergirded by the word of God. What did I talk about last Sunday? Being boxed in with the word of God. I'm renewed. Because it's the word that causes me to be able to fly higher than my storm, higher than my trial, higher than my tribulation. Notice, David shifts when we get to verse number 6. The Lord executes acts of righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Notice this. We see God as being what? As a judge. Notice, David, we must also magnify the Lord for his goodness. Wait a minute. Who? To others. Not just what he's done for me. Not just the benefits I've received. But we should also magnify the Lord for the goodness to others. He does not leave the poor, Pastor Reggie, and the needy to perish at the hands of their enemies. Many of us across this country, we are concerned about the poor. We are concerned about the needy. We are concerned about the people in California who have lost their home. We are concerned about widows and orphans. We are concerned. Notice this, but this promise here, it says, David says, the Lord executes acts of righteousness and justice for all those that are oppressed. He is the executor of the poor and the executioner of the cruel. When his people were in Egypt, he heard their groaning and brought them forth, but he overthrew Pharaoh in the Red Sea. Man's injustice shall receive retribution at the hand of God. I want us to keep that in mind as we go through 2025. Notice this. God's people were what? In slavery. They were being mistreated. They were being beat down. And they cried out to God. And what did God do? God sent a deliverer. And he brought them out. But notice what he did to Pharaoh. Pharaoh and all of his men were drowned there in the Red Sea. Man's injustice shall receive retribution at the hand of God. Let me say this morning. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We got to keep pressing and doing what God has called us to do. Were he careless of his creatures' good? Did he neglect the administration of justice? Did he suffer high-handed oppressors finally to escape? God is a God of justice. And God is also a God of long-suffering. And we as a people, I got to start. Let me tell you something. We got to magnify the Lord for his goodness to others. See what the Lord has done, not just for me, but what he's done for others. Look at verse 7. He revealed his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. Moses was made to see the manner in which the Lord deals with men. He saw this at each of the three periods of his own life. To him, the Lord gave especially clear manifestations of his dispensation and the modes of ruling among mankind. Moses saw God. Moses saw the acts of God. Moses knew the ways in which God was moving. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children. They saw God. They saw the sovereignty of God. But they also experienced the grace of God. They experienced the mercy of God, even in the midst of their murmuring. He did not leave Moses to discover truth for himself, but became his instructor. What should we ever know if he did not make it known? God alone can reveal himself. If Moses needed the Lord to make him known, how much more do we who are so much inferior to the law, the great lawgiver? God is revealing himself to us. He's making known to us his ways. He's showing us how we must depend on him. He's showing us how he opens up his mercy and grace to us, but as well as to others. Look at verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger. Mercy pardons sin. Grace bestows favor, and both the Lord abounds. This is that way of his which he made known to Moses. And in that way, he will abide as long as the age of grace shall last, and men are yet in this life. Notice this. Our God is slow to anger. Yes, he can be angry and can deal out righteous indignation upon guilty. But notice this. This does not linger for long. His anger is short-lived and never reaches into eternity. And when it is shown, in fatherly chastisement. He does not afflict willingly and soon pities our sorrows. Notice this morning. We got to keep this in mind. The Lord is compassionate. That is an attribute of our God. He is gracious. That is an attribute of our God. And he's slow to anger. But notice this anger does not go into eternity, but he is full of faithful love. He is steadfast. His love is everlasting. And he will, in verse 9, he will not always accuse us or be angry forever. He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve or repaid us according to our offenses. Notice this. Notice the plenteous grace and mercy that has been extended to us. That he does not what we require or what we should receive. Notice that God does not deal with us after our sin, nor does he reward us according to our iniquity. Sister Reuben, look at these twins of grace and mercy. We are to praise the Lord for what he has not done, as well as for what he has done for us. Even the negative side deserves our adoring gratitude. Up to this moment, at our very worst of state, we have never suffered as we deserve to suffer, and our daily lot has not been apportioned upon the rule of what we merited, what we should have received. God, those twins, grace and mercy. We have to shout hallelujah this morning. Hallelujah this morning, knowing that our God does not bear any grudges. Our God does not harbor any resentment. Our God, he is our Father, and notice how much he loves us. Notice how much he forgives us. Notice how compassionate he is. Notice how gracious he is. Look at verse 11 through 14 this morning as we close. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful, there it is again, his love towards those who fear him, who reverence him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows what we are made of, and remembering that we are dust. Uncle John, look at these last verses. We ought to be praising God this morning. We ought to be worshiping God this morning. Notice this. Our sin is removed from us by a miracle of love in verse 12. What a load to move, and yet it is removed so far that the distance, you can't even calculate it. The distance between east is from west. If sin be removed so far, then we may be sure that the scent, the trace, the very memory of it must be entirely gone. Notice this. Satan himself will try to bring that memory back of what we've done in our past. But I want to remind us, our sins are gone. Jesus has borne them away. And that's how Satan will try to, even in the midst of our fasting, bringing up this thing and that thing of what we've done in our past. But this morning, I want us to be set free. Look at verse 12. As far as the east is from the west. I don't know how far that is, but it says, so far has he removed. Now, he removed our transgressions from us. He has forgiven us. And that's a hallelujah praise this morning. The Lord alone could remove sin at all. And he has done it in a God-like fashion, making a final sweep of all our transgressions. It says what? All. That means that we should be walking in what? Freedom. We should be walking in love. We should be walking in forgiveness. If he has forgiven us, we ought to forgive others. Verse 13. Like as a father. Notice it. Like as a father. He is a compassionate father. He has compassion on his children. And he has compassion on those who fear him, those who reverence him, those who give him honor, those who give him authentic praise. This takes away any pride we ought to have. This takes away any ego we ought to have. This should be putting us in a yielded and a surrendered place, knowing the compassion, knowing the love that he has for us. We do not adore a God of stone, but we adore a living God who is tenderness itself. He is at this moment, he's compassionate with us. For the word is in the present tense. That says he is what? Look at it. It's in the present tense. As a father has compassion, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows what we are made of, remembering that we are dust. Notice this. He knows how we are made, for he's the one that made us. Go over to Psalm 100. Our make and our build, our constitution, our temperament, our prevailing infirmity and most besetting temptation. He well perceives. He knows us. He knows what we are made out of. We are made of dust, dust still, and ready to return to dust. But I want us to know this morning, we too often forget that we are dust, and we try our minds and our bodies to do excessive mental and bodily exertion. God is talking to us through the fast, through repentance, as well as through prayer. We got to take care of this temple he's given us. He's talking to me. He's talking to you. Blessed be his holy name. Blessed be his holy name. When we look at God, when we look at Psalms 103, when we look at the attributes, Uncle John, of God, when we look at, I can't count all the blessings, but when I look at our God and how he forgives, when I look at our God and look at his holiness, when I look at our God and look at his love, when I look at our God and look at his being so compassionate with us, so loving with us, so slow to anger with us, how he extends justice, and we think folks are getting away, but I want y'all to know this morning, no one is getting away. Those that are pressing down on those that are poor, those that are pressing down on those that are not able to care for themselves, God is going to extend justice. But I'm so glad this morning that I can shout with you about your blessings of deliverance, about your blessings of being set free, about your blessings of how God forgives, how God removes transgressions, how God removes sin. I can shout with you this morning of the blessings. I can shout with you this morning by saying, look at our God. See what the Lord has done. I can shout with you this morning to know what true worship is really all about. Alignment to the Father's will, his word, and his way. Walking in obedience. That's what worship is. This morning I can say, like David, my soul praise the Lord. And all that is within me praise his holy name. My soul praise the Lord and do not forget all his benefits. I can praise the Lord this morning, verse number 22 of this same psalm. Praise the Lord, all his works in all the places where he rules. My soul praise the Lord. Good morning.
Amen, 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 amen. Count your many blessings and see what the Lord has done. He woke us up this morning. He kept us safe. See what the Lord has done. Amen, amen. Thank you, Minister Singleton, for that powerful, powerful teaching. That makes me, I love it because you makes me look at myself. See where I need to do better, and that's just a gift to me from you every time I hear you teach. Ruby, do this. Ruby, you're not doing enough of this. Ruby, make sure you're getting it right. And I just thank you for it. I just love your teaching. I appreciate your teaching. As I go through the week, something you be done said always come out my mouth. Okay, I got to work on this. So thank you so very much. Thank you from the depths of my heart. Is there any questions, comments, or encouraging word from our powerful, powerful teacher? Look what God has sent us, y'all. We got to be thanking God for her, because I don't know about y'all. She's blessing me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're all on the line this morning. Praise God for his word this morning. I was thinking this fit in. Excuse me. I had a session Thursday, and my daughter and I and this and another man was there. Well, it was four of us in all. And this man, he was 85 years old. And he was low. No one came with him. And as time went on, because the session was long, he became restless. And you know, I just could see how restless he was becoming. And he seemed like he was sad because it wasn't anyone there with him. So after the session, we left, and I told my daughter, I said, my heart went out to the man because he was 85 years old. I said, and it just seemed like he was hurting because he was alone there by himself. So she looked at me, and she said, Mama, everybody don't have someone to take care of them like you do. And it hit home, because sometimes we have a tendency to take things for granted. And that was a reminder. They are there because they want to be, not because they have to, because they could have been just like whoever was supposed to have been there with him would have just dropped him off and not come back, you know. But a lady sent me a card a couple of weeks ago, and the verse that was in the card came out of Psalm 92, started with 10. And I'm going to read it this morning because it was so fulfilling. You have exalted my horn like a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the feet of my adversaries. My eyes have heard the root of my wicked force. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. It's so befitting what going along with this Psalm 103 this morning. So I just thank God how God just, he provides for us. And he lets us know that he's there.
Yes.
And we as receivers, we have to share it with others and let them know that God is still blessing and he's still keeping his word.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, bless the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, Mother Cora, for those comments. Amen. And Sister Ruby, amen.
Amen.
So, thankful for today. That's an awesome song that you read there, knowing God's goodness. And Dr. Dale, we thank you for what you did. I'm just going to make one comment. I'm going to get out the way. I just kind of heard something that, Mother Cora laughing at me because she knows we can get started. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to take one of the verses out of 103. I just want to kind of expound it because, Dr. Deb, I heard you mention it. And I want to just kind of expound on it a little bit. And that's verse number 12. Yeah. As far as the east is from the west, so forth has he removed our transgression from us. We have to understand a little geography to get it. Hallelujah. Listen, when we go north to south, we get up to the North Pole and come down, we're going south. We get down to the South Pole, we're going up, we're going north. But when we go east, it never stops. When we go west, it never stops.
Don't meet.
What he's saying is forever.
Amen. Don't meet.
It don't meet. Come on, sister. It goes forever, continue.
Yeah.
He has moved our transgressions.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to leave it there. That's all I want to get because I go to get started. Hallelujah. Thank you, Dr. Gale, for that. Serious.
Praise God. Yeah, they never meet. Keep on going.
Amen. I'm going to stop.
So are you saying, Pastor Reggie, that this is continuous?
Amen.
Are you saying this is continuous? Are you telling me that he continued, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us, meaning that he has done it. And there's an action that I have to take in my own life.
Yes.
When I take this verse in my own life to know that this is no longer exist, and he continuously forgiving.
Yes.
He's continuously being compassionate. He's continuously removing. He's continually washing. He's continuously sanctifying.
No more.
We just received that.
It's no more.
Nah,
he's taking it.
Forever.
Not going to meet you anymore.
Come on.
You got to receive it, though. You have to receive it.
That's it. Got to.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's it.
Immeasurable.
Can't calculate it.
You can't get the distance.
All right.
Mother Cora said they never meet.
Amen.
It's an immeasurable distance. Signifying something completely separated or removed. Complete. God does
Amen.
It. It's complete.
Amen.
It's complete. Forgiveness. Come on, somebody.
Supernatural.
The sea of forgiveness.
Praise
the Lord. I said I was going to stop. I promise.
And only God can do it.
Only
God can do it. David presents him as this psalm as God-centered. And only God can do it.
Only God. I say one more thing. East to west, the opposite direction we just talked about on the compass. So the distance represents an infinite separation in terms of where you're going. So they can't meet, as Mother Cora said. So let me start. It's good to know that he forgave me for what I did.
All right.
Sorry,
Amen.
And Dr. Deb, you said I can take out that bar of soap of 1 John 1:9 when I need it to get scrubbed back off to get it off me again. Come on, Lord have mercy. But we want to walk in holiness so we don't have that much scrubbing to do. You know, some of you got to scrub a lot.
Amen.
Come on,
Amen.
I know what it means to have to scrub a lot.
Come on,
I'm going to stop.
Amen.
Go ahead.
I need those benefits. That blessed assurance policy.
Assurance. He's mine.
It's an everlasting policy.
Amen.
Don't cancel.
Amen.
It won't cancel us.
Yeah, come on now. And here's the other thing, Pastor Reggie. I don't have to every year go through this whole book of different insurance companies to decide on which one am
now
I going to select. Do I go with Humana? Do I go with United Healthcare? Do I go with Blue Shield? Do I go with Mail Handler? Or do I go with this? Do I have to, I got to compare all these things? Do I have to do that with him? I got an assurance.
Amen.
Yeah.
Mm. Amen.
No,
amen.
He would want another policy. Let me stop.
Praise God.
I'm a stop, mother.
Hold on to that one.
Yes, ma'am. I'm hold on and stop. Thank
let
you,
him
Jesus.
Hold
praise
on to
Lord,
me.
Saint. Yeah.
Let him hold on to me.
Uncle John, all the saints, don't let me stop. God bless the Lord.
Praise God. When you can see.
Thank you, Lord.
You can't do nothing but rejoice.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
When
thank
you see,
Lord.
you see what he's saying.
Yeah.
You're not only hearing, you can see it. It's true. It's real.
Yes.
Yeah.
Be a part of it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
If I was an artist and I looked in this Psalm 103 and see the love of God, I would draw the picture of Jesus there hanging on the cross, and I would draw his shed blood if I was an artist.
Mm-hmm.
If I was an artist and I had to paint the picture of compassion, then I would see God there with his hands open wide with me running towards him with all the dirt on me, the dirt of the world, the dirt of all the stuff that I've been a part of. If I could just draw a picture, if I was an artist, that's the picture I would draw. If I was an artist and I could draw the picture of grace, if I was a songster, I would write and I would go back and lean on the song that says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." I can see David sitting there remembering. He said, "I know it wasn't but grace. I was a wretched." What did you say, Pastor Wretched? "Oh, wretched man that I am." If I was a poet, like Sister Gloria on the line, I would write a poem that speaks of, look what the Lord has done, how he's brought me, how he's kept me, and how he's been a compassionate father, even when I may have been a prodigal. And then when I came to my senses and said, I don't have to live like this anymore, I can see him running towards me. Because you all do know that back then, that wasn't in that culture, the father didn't run towards the child. The child ran towards the father.
But I can't
paint, y'all. I'm not an artist. I'm not a poet. But what I can say, I have experienced the compassion, the love, the mercy, the grace of God in my life. And I can be a testimony this morning. And I can be a testimony that I know my God is holy. I know my God is mighty. I'm like David this morning. David said the first five verses, I'm going to just testify about what God has done for me. I'm just going to pull a few of the pearls out of my journal real quick and give you a few things of what he's done for me. But then David said, I love it, y'all. He said, you know what? I can't keep this all to myself. I got to include somebody else that has experienced. I got to include Deborah. I got to include Mother Cora. I got to include Mother Neal. I got to include Pastor Reggie, Sister Ruby. I got to include Sister Wanda. I got to include Sister JJ. I got to include Sister Gloria. I got to include others on that line. I got to include Uncle John. Because you know what? Yeah. They have seen the Red Sea open. They have seen the Pharaohs kill when their enemies surrounded them. And you know what? The enemy thought they had them. I got to include them because they have seen the Red Sea open. They have been in Egypt before. They have seen God bring them out. Yeah. I got to include them too. I got to include those orphans. I got to include those widows and let them know that God's going to bring justice. God's going to do something about it. Just hang on in there. Don't you take business. Don't take it in your own hands. I'm going to do something about it. I see David, keep on talking. Brother Reggie, he keeps talking to us this morning. And I believe he's setting us up, y'all. He's setting us up for January because God already knew. God knows. Our life is an open book. But then he has the writers of these lessons to write these lessons, and he has us to take our minds from digging deep in a commentary and begin to dig in his word and bring the word for it. And God said, don't worry. I got this. Yeah. He said, all I'm telling you to do is just look at me. Just count on my benefit. Start telling other folks about your benefit plan. Tell them about the assurance that you got. You worry about what's going to happen tomorrow? You worry about this and that? No! You start telling people about my benefit plan. You start telling them that your life is God-centered. You start telling them about your God that's a loving God, that you got an intimate relationship with God. He said, no! Take your mind off of that. No. I got that. The heart of the king is in the hands of God. I can see him, Pastor Reggie. I can see David crying. I can see David weeping. He said, what should have happened to me? God, what I should have got, what I deserve to get, God kept it back.
Yeah.
Not that I didn't have the consequences, but guess what? His love was still there. His compassion was still there.
Yes.
Can't you see him? Can't you see him? He just started writing. I can see the water just dripping. He's writing. He said, I want Deborah to get this, that God's infinite mercy, his infinite grace, his infinite boundless love has been extended to her. I want her to get it and to understand this is where your praise comes from. This is where your gratitude comes from. This is where your worship comes from. It don't come from a worship leader getting up there saying, let's praise the Lord. Let everything that has, no, it comes from you looking on the inside of you, Sister Ruby. When you go through those doors, you don't need no praise leader. You don't need nobody to tell you to praise the Lord. You already know what the Lord has done for you. You don't need somebody to tell you to stand up and let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You already know what the Lord has done. I don't need somebody to initiate praise in my life. I know what the Lord has done.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do you know what the Lord has done? Do you know what he's done for you? Do you know what he's doing for you? Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is interceding for us. He's given us the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us now. He is the one leading us and guiding us and ordering our footsteps the more we surrender. See what the Lord has done. David has said to us today, you concerned about this because no, don't forget them benefits the Lord has given you. Don't forget them benefits, the forgiveness, the healing, the redemption, the crowning you, the satisfying you. And then all of a sudden, Mother Cora, even it lets me know, as I'm getting older in life, he still renews me. And I'm going to be like an eagle. I'm going to have renewed strength, being able to fly above my situation. I'm through, y'all. I'm through.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Praise God.
My God is real. For he is wise. And make me whole. His love for me is just like pure gold. For God is real. I can my soul. Y'all know I don't know the song, but I like it.
Amen. It's all right. He's real. And we have to know. This is no faking this. You can't fake this.
No, he's real.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. All the way.
Come on, come on. We got a responsibility. Yeah, yeah, come on. We got a responsibility. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
Uncle John.
I know you're there. I know you're there.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, y'all could have carried on. Could have carried on.
Praise God.
I just say that. Thank each and every one that joined on the line this morning. Thank you, Minister Deborah, for your teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Threw it out this morning. You just in the Word of God.
Mm.
Sometimes you can't always do it by yourself. You need somebody else.
Mm.
Thank you, Pastor Reggie. You picked my pocket this morning.
Oh, no.
A lot of picking this morning.
That are the two verses. I want to thank each one for our devotion this morning. Scripture by Minister Deborah. Going in prayer, Sister Ruby. Thank you. And I'm on in scripture, Sister Wanda. And our song for the morning, Brother Al. Thank you. We want to look at verse 11. For as the heaven high above the earth, so great is the mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east from the west, so far as he remove our transgression from us. When I look at that, Pastor Reggie, I often wonder that it's beyond measure God has done for us. If he was to try to measure the east from the west,
yeah,
would be the starting point.
Yeah.
Who would hold it? Then you ask yourself a question: have I praised God enough for what he's done for me? But we're going to use for our subject this morning, I just can't stop praising his name.
All right.
For what he's done for me.
All right now. All right, Uncle John.
The writer here is praising our God for what he has done and for what he is doing, for what he will do for the one that loves him. His message will never go out of style. Will always be new every day on the hour, praising God. Doesn't come in the same season.
Praise God.
In verse 1, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me. Bless the Lord. For a soul, you can't get no chance to do that. You got to bless the Lord. Verse 2, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul.
Yes, sir.
And forget not all his benefits. All the things that he does. All the things that he's doing and all the things that he will do for the one that loves him. Mm. Verse 3, he said, forgive all our iniquities.
Mm-hmm.
Heal our diseases. You just can't stop praising his name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I remember a long time ago I decided within myself that I would quit teaching because people didn't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit told me if you quit teaching, you will be just like a person having a light. And see some folk walking in darkness and won't shine your light their way.
Mm.
The old folk used to say that the scripture was like a spool of thread that you try to roll it off and sometimes it'll get tangled up. And someone else had to help you untangle it. It'll always be a need for teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Be a person you may become, he or she had to face somebody's teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell you that you probably can still remember your first teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
About all the rest. But Matthew 28:19 said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I just can't stop praising the Lord for what he's done for me. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. There was some more in that pocket. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Uncle Don. Amen.
Amen. Mm. Amen. Mm. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. Is Sister Wanda still on the line? Sister Wanda?
I'm still here. Sorry.
Hey, no, you're fine. I want to hear from you this morning. We heard from you earlier, and I don't know if I thought I may have heard you come through, but I wasn't for sure for you to share this morning. Anything you desire to share this morning?
Yes, I'm going to my notes. I enjoy every, I'm like Sister Ruben, every time, you know, that you take time to share with us. I know that it comes from your heart and your love for us all, and I'm so grateful to God for blessing you with that gift, and you don't hold it to your heart. You share it with everyone, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the benefits that God has given me in such a time as this. We all go through our trials. We all go through our tribulations. But God, I know who he is. I know what he can do. I know what he, you know, who he's called me to be. I know how he's trained me, how he's loving me and providing for me. And I'm just grateful for that second chance, another chance that he give us in our lifetime. And I think you said it earlier. I don't want to disappoint God. I love him. I praise and I worship him, and he is who I am, who he called, you know, who I am because of him. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for his grace and his mercy. I wouldn't, you know, I'm just grateful for how he chooses to use his people, and I don't take it lightly. I'm just I am a true worship to him. I'm a true prayer, you know, to him. I know that I'm a blessing to him, and he blessed me, and I try to share that with the people that I encounter, and it's okay, but sometimes I think I'm a little bit harder on myself because I know that I can do more than I do, and when I do stuff, I'm like, is it enough for him? Am I pleasing him? No longer the other person. But a lot of times when I speak and when I say things, those are not my words. Those are God's words that he used me to minister to other people. And I'm grateful for that gift. And I'm just, you know, I just don't take it lightly. I'm grateful that we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our life, in our presence, each and every day of our life. I don't take it lightly when I arise in the morning. I thank him for the breath of life. I thank him for able to see and to do for myself, to be a blessing to his people. A lot of times I was thinking that, you know, I couldn't do this or I couldn't do that. I wasn't good enough. But yet the way God works and the way he works in my life is before I can even say those things or think those things now, I've already done it. Not on my own, but because of his grace. He made the platform. He made the – he set up everything. So I can't say I can't do it because I can do whatever he wants me to do and how he wants me to do it. I just want more of him and less of myself. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. We want everyone to know that you have a voice and that God has provided you a platform to share what the Holy Spirit has given to you. And when Uncle John spoke this morning, when he started, he talked about thinking about not teaching. It brings to mind that all of us have something to give and to offer. And I thank you for sharing this morning. And the more you draw closer to him, he draws closer to you. Remember John 15, he says that he is in you and you are in him. And you will bear fruit, much fruit, more fruit. Just continue to stay connected and immersing yourself in his word. Asking Holy Spirit to open your heart and your mind up to understand. And as Uncle John would tell you, you can put all the books on the table, but until the Holy Spirit comes and the Lord begins to reveal it and open it to you, and he will do it. He will do it. And thank you, Uncle John, for you initiating this morning and to open this up to our sister. Is there anyone else this morning as to how this psalm penned by David speaks to all of us, but speaks specifically to you when you think about the benefit package, the benefits that David says, I'm only picking a few, but you got so many that you can even share with others to be a testimony of somebody that may just be feeling a little bit, that they need a little bit of strength. They need a little bit of comfort, a little bit of lifting to be reminded of who they are connected to. Amen. Anyone else?
Yeah, because God will let you know he's pleased with your praise.
Yes.
He'll let you know I'm pleased with your praise.
Yes.
A lot of people don't praise because... They think they don't know how to praise. Praise is truth. That's it. Be true. Mm-hmm. Truthful.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to pretend to praise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't praise like you. You don't praise like me. I praise for me. Praising for you, with you. But don't ever think that our praise is not heard.
Yes, Lord.
Because he knows our praise before we open our mouth. before we move our hand, before we think. He already know. He just want us to come through with it.
Yes, Lord.
Your heart is all continuously be praising.
Yes.
You don't have people think you have to say something. Or praise is your heart. It starts in your heart. Your heart begin to praise. Each beat is a praise. Don't mess with this 103. I'm telling you. This 103 will tie you up.
And you still don't get through it. You're right, Mother Corey. I'm glad you said that it starts in our heart, and that's a heart of trust in the Lord, a heart that is aligned to the Word. And that's why we have to understand that we don't praise alike, but we praise the same God if we are connected to Him and aligned to Him and His way and His will. And that's why I can praise God, and I don't need anyone to tell me, do this, do that. I don't need anyone to orchestrate it because I know what He has done for me and what He is doing. And I praise God, as you say, for others as well, as I look at their lives and see the spiritual growth that's there. Begin to see them walking in obedience to the Word, walking in forgiveness. And if we would take that definition in any place we go in, then as that old song used to say, they say, I wish the whole church would catch on fire. Fire in the Holy Ghost. It's when we walk in obedience, when we walk aligned to the Word and the will and the way of God.
Amen.
That's where the community of disciples can come together in unity and harmony. Not in just the outside show or something that's superficial, but it's where we are truly aligned, truly loving one another, then we can certainly see the church catch on fire. And fire means fire to go forth and align ourselves to the mandate that God has called us to do, to go and make disciples.
Amen.
Of all nations. That's catching on fire. Amen.
Your hearts lined up together.
Amen.
Oneness.
Amen. That's catching on fire. Harmony, oneness, love, fruit of the Spirit coming alive. That's the church catching on fire, carrying out the mandate of Matthew 28, 19 through 20. That's catching on fire.
Amen.
Amen. If
I hear you, Brother Red, to come on. Go ahead. Old folks say, go ahead, go ahead. Bring it forth.
He knows, my blessed Savior, He knows. He knows, my blessed Savior, He knows. He knows when we are right. He knows when we are wrong. My blessed Savior, He knows. He knows. My blessed Savior, He knows. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. He knows.
Amen.
And that's who you want to know.
Amen. Amen. He knows him up and down.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
He knows.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm glad that he knows.
Yes, Lord. And it's good to know that he knows.
Yes,
that's the main thing.
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. Don't care what it look like. Don't care what it sound like. He knows.
Yes, ma'am. It popped in my spirit that he knows. He knows.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Well, my master's word. Praise him.
Heavenly Father, we come right now, Lord. We come telling you thank you. Thank you again for your mercy. Thank you again for your grace. Thank you, oh God, for opening up Psalm 103 to us on today. Mm-hmm. That each of us, oh God, know about your benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do we know about them, but we have experienced them. Not only have we experienced them, but we know the God that has provided them. We know that we have an intimate relationship with you, God. We know that not only do you love us, but God, we love you. We know that we will live with you. We will reign with you.
Mm.
But you've given us a mission down here on earth until you call us home. We thank you, God, as we walk, God, and carry out your mandate of Matthew 28:19-20. We know, God, that we can walk in forgiveness.
that we can walk knowing that we have a Father that is compassionate, a Father that cares for us. Lord, we can thank you, God, that you have given us this infinite separation of our transgressions, oh God, from east as far as the east is from the west. They have been removed. We thank you, oh God. Mm. We thank you, oh God, that you love us, you care for us, and you provide for us. Now, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, we leave right now glorifying you, praising you, knowing that worship is walking in obedience. Knowing that worship is aligning to your word, your will, and your way. We too, as David says, my soul praise the Lord. My soul praise the Lord. And I will not forget all of his benefits. My soul praise the Lord. All his works and all the places where he rules, my soul praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. May the grace of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now and forever. Let us all say amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all have a blessed afternoon. Look forward to seeing you at 7 this evening. Look forward to hearing your voices again. Be blessed. Stay safe out there.
Amen.
Pastor Kiefer.